Elite.
Let's go.
Week 9, baby.
Any football fantasy inquiries that you may have, you can always catch us at.
That's at Elite Circle Pod. That's at Elite Circle Pod on Twitter. Yeah, week 9.
Hey, back in the building, ain't we?
And we are back. So that's two quarters now in the books. As I break down the seasons into, you know, 4-week increments. Now we have week 9. I can't believe it, but listen, week 8 didn't hold back anything. We had tons of excitement. Yes. Just right into it. Everybody talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. This fight.
Knuckle up. Like, what's all the attitude for? You upset?
I don't know what all the angry energy was about, but we had Javon Wims from the Chicago Bears that basically sucker punches the Saints' Chauncey Garner. Now, some of the things because I was intrigued. First of all, I was like, where did this come from? So then I kind of did some little bit of research around, and I seen that what happened in scenes previously is that right. Chauncey Garner had actually ripped a mouthpiece from a previous Bears player. And so I guess Javon Wims, you know, he's riding for his teammate. You could tell when the play started, right? The way he ran, he had no interest in actually even trying to catch the ball or running a great route.
Right.
He didn't actually have any interest in that at all. As you can see, as soon as the play was over, he went right to the person he was looking for, right? Went right up to Chauncey Garner. Made the gesture. They kind of connected, like, hey, oh, you want to be pulling mouthpieces and throwing them in the ground? Okay, hits him. And then Chauncey, you can see, it's like he's taken back, like, what? I can't believe this guy just hit me. Do you guys see this? He hits him again. Yeah. And then from that, it goes into a whole scrum. But listen, I love what I walk away with is I want my team. Listen, anybody that's on my team, you got to ride for me the way that Janoris Jenkins did, okay?
Of course, this guy
jumped on his back, you hear me? And you know what I mean? He was just like, listen, we going to go. You can't hit my man twice in the face. I'm jumping right on you. Not that I'm going to try to break it up or try to figure out what's going on. I'm on your back. I love
that's,
it.
That's how the fight should have been with the Cowboys when they hit Andy Dalton. That's
how about
exactly
that?
How they should have been. Yeah.
How about that? Right. Yeah. We're talking about a cornerback who got hit, not the quarterback.
Right.
The quarterback is like your prized possession. To your point, G, like that's typically where you're going to actually see most players try to ride out, see something happen. You're right. Mm-hmm. A full-out brawl breaks out. I don't think I've ever seen, and I never understand this, right? The whole hitting someone with a helmet on.
Right.
Like, I know your anger. Right, and I know that, you know, it's some anger that you want to release and all of that, but at the same time, it's just like, what is the smartness in that, especially for you, a wide receiver, who you get paid
for your hands. Right.
Exactly. Right. So you want to put those in action, you know, it's just a whole bunch of unsmart plays. Well, if you haven't heard, he's definitely suspended for 2 games, and I kind of expected that for happening, definitely. It's one of those fights. It's going down in the books for sure. 2020 football. That was the best fight or a fight that it was just had you like, what? What happened? Yeah, out of nowhere, and then you kind of go back and piece it together. That one was definitely funny for week 8. But then we talk about right. But unfortunately, we got Cam. Week 8 wasn't too great for him. He may be on a short lease, it sounds like. He definitely has to play well, better than he's played in this situation this week, as you've seen. Like, you know, they were driving, kind of looked like one of those typical Patriot games where they, you know, they're in it the whole time and then they make that drive at the end of the game and either get in field goal range or actually proceed to score a touchdown. It's just like, Cam, you got to know to protect the ball, right? And for me, an Eagles fan, what do I know about protecting the ball with Carson Wentz? But that's a whole nother subject. we're not talking about him, but as far as Cam, he got to know high and tight, right? And he's got to make sure he's protecting the ball. So that definitely was a costly fumble and that definitely cost him the game. So, Cam started off so well, 2 games, and then
he had a lot of promise. Like, I thought that this was going to be that breakout season all over again. You know?
Right. We kind of bounced back. Yeah. Right. We kind of see some of the things we've seen when he was an MVP candidate and actually won it that year. You know, was hoping to see those type of things. And you've seen the little flashes of it. But to be fair, I know he's not working with much. but that was kind of expected going in. And I think for him to actually get the respect and the pay and you know, the teams that actually want him, that he's looking for, the best scenario out of this situation, he has to play better. And even with limited option, he has to find a way to win. So that's definitely one to watch. Then Uncle Rico. And as we move to the injury front a little bit, he's actually out with a thumb injury. So they look to actually be starting the rookie, Jake Luton, looks to be actually starting. And we come back to a little bit more injuries, but the trade deadline, you know, I was kind of excited about it. I was expecting some pieces to be moved.
Something.
Right. Not so much.
It's a lot of teams that need a little shakeup. I expect more.
That was actually in contention. And I understand that a lot of times those moves that's kind of mid-season don't pan out. So I can understand that you're not, you know, you may not want to actually do too much. But I was just surprised the day of that it wasn't actually more action going on. You heard Will Fuller rumored to be going to be on the move. He did not happen. A number of other pieces that just did not happen. A lot of the moves actually happened the day before. The only trade we had today was with the Chiefs going to DeAndre Washington, running back, going to Miami. Right. But other than that, it was pretty quiet on the front. I was expecting a little bit more excitement, but yeah, trade deadline was a dud. And now let's get back to some sad news. Bad news for the 49ers. Sorry, Mike. But listen, your 49ers teams. Oh, man. They bad news. George Kittle, he's going to be out 8 weeks. Look, broken bone in his foot. Then we talk about Jimmy G. And he's just, you know, when he's got there, he got hurt that first year. Right. He was trying to actually put some pieces together and maybe see if he could stay healthy this year. That didn't happen. He has an ankle injury, high ankle sprain. He's out indefinitely. And it seems like it's something he re-aggravated because, as we know, he was actually injured at the beginning of the season. So that's not good news. Tevin Coleman is actually going to be also out for Thursday Night Football. So, yeah, that's a lot of pieces right there for the 49ers. Key pieces. Yes. That's definitely going to be out this week, especially for Thursday night. With a quick turnaround, that's just so bad luck for the attempt to actually put something out there that's going to be hopefully a contend. I don't think that's going to happen. But then, you know, go over to the Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay. He has a hip injury week to week.
He can't stay healthy, man.
Yeah, he's outstanding talent. Right. I have made no secret about it. I like him. I was looking to trade for him. But to your point, G, that's the one thing, and that's a lot of players. He has, especially this year, he has a tendency to actually have a lot of injuries. When he's healthy, he's fantastic. But, you know, those injury things are something that's always, you want to kind of stay away from if you can in the fantasy realm, as much as you can anyway. Then we got Calvin Ridley, has an ankle injury also. We know he lost, he actually hurt that in Thursday Night Football. So he's likely going to be out this week. T.Y. Hilton also has a groin injury. He's likely going to be out this weekend for a couple of weeks. And then we talk about Andy Dalton, those Cowboys.
Can't catch
him. Now, the Eagle fan of me, you know, it's not so excited. It's almost sad at this point, but he's also going to be missed. He missed week eight with the concussion protocol. He's also going to miss now week nine. He's actually added to the COVID list. So it's likely he's going to miss this week, maybe even longer. So, you know, it was hopes that I know Cowboys fans were definitely thinking like, hey, you know, we get him back. We're not so far out of it. It's a chance. And then, hey, this happened. So
he can't catch a break this season.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Try again, Cowboys. then we got Jamal Williams for those Packers. He will miss Thursday Night Football. He's also added to the COVID list. And also, there are actually another running back. A.J. Dillon is the rookie running back. He's also going to be added to the COVID list. So that's two running backs that won't be available on a short week Thursday Night Football. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on. There, possibly Aaron Jones is able to make it back for that game. Miles Gaskin, this one hurts. I have him in our Dynasty League. He's going to be out 3 games with a sprained MCL.
Jesus, it's like this bug week after week after week. It's like the list is getting longer and longer and longer.
Yes, because you're dealing with two things, right? We always had to deal with the injury bug with fantasy, but it's to a new level, of course, because of the weird offseason and this just year in general, right? And then you got the COVID list. That's a whole nother factor that you have to keep in mind. And out of nowhere, one day to your player, you can think it's going to play. And then the next day you can get the news and they're out of the lineup. So, yeah, that's just the way it's kind of what we signed up for in 2020.
Yeah, it is.
unfortunately, that's just what it is. It's definitely, as to your point, G, it's definitely sad. Injury bug. Elite. Yeah, now let's talk about some elite plays.
Mm-hmm. There's quite a few this week. This week we had a lot of players that popped out this week at us. And the first that we're gonna talk about is my main man, my guy, Dalvin Cook for the Vikings.
I bet.
When I tell you, brother, if you could have just spread that out over the last 3 weeks, I think we probably would have got some W's. Like all that.
How about
this,
that?
This one game, like I was impressed. He looked like old Dalvin.
Cook taking advantage. First down and more. Dalvin Cook breaking free into the open. Cook all the way. Touchdown, Minnesota.
Yes, he had a monster game, to your point. It was definitely in a division game. It was a huge game. And I think it's something he can build on. That's something that you can kind of count on, I think, with him. As long as he's healthy, to your point, you know, you're talking about burst out on the scene, and he was definitely that in week 8. Had a monster game, 3 touchdowns. And against the Lions coming up this week, I think that definitely continues.
Yeah, I hope it does. Keep it going.
Yeah, then we got Gronk.
Yeah.
Tight end.
Right.
Bucks going against the Saints. Mm-hmm. He's back.
Yes. Like we've been waiting for this all season long for it to just be consistent. And now it seems like they back. The boys are back and they in trouble. You hear me?
Hey, listen, they you're absolutely right. It's like that duo is back, like they never left. It definitely seems like with the last 3 games, she's had a touchdown. In those games, I think that definitely continues against her friendly defense in the Saints. Now, my only concern is down the line with AB coming back into the fold and possibly Godwin coming back into the fold. How that's gonna affect Gronk? But as it is now, especially this week, I love the play. I think it's a great matchup for him.
Me too. Got TJ Hockenson, the tight end for the Lions, going against those Minnesota Vikings this week.
Nice divisional matchup.
Yeah, real good divisional matchup. We got Kenny Galladay, like he's going to be injured this week. So I think that's going to definitely give him a few more targets, probably around the 3 to 4 range more. And he's been a really good target as far as with Stafford. They have great chemistry. He's always there bailing him out whenever needed.
Yeah.
He's just always there. He's been able to perform week in and week out. And I think that's going to continue because, like I said, man, we haven't had that much promise. Thank you, Dalvin. But yeah, TJ, if he coming to town, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point. As we know, guys, as we talked about, Galladay is going to be out. It's going to leave some more targets. We know that Stafford loves to throw the ball across the yard. TJ has been a nice connection for him thus far this year. I think they even connect possibly in the red zone against the Vikings. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, your Vikings haven't put up too much fight on the defensive side of the ball. So I think he may have a great showing for sure.
Yeah, I think he will too. Unfortunately, like you said, we haven't been able to stop anybody on the defensive side. So, yeah, he's definitely going to eat.
Yeah, now talk about Big Ben. The old man is still doing this thing. I love his matchup, mostly for the fact he's going against the Cowboys, even at the Cowboys. Listen, we've seen that defense, in my opinion, haven't given up much of a fight. And I don't even think they have much of a fight left. With Andy, as we talk about, Andy Dalton's going to miss the game. It's likely that they're going to go with one of the rookies, quarterbacks. Either one of the situations, in my opinion, is not a great one that I think is going to give any type of rivalry to the Steelers and what they're actually doing. That offense has looked fantastic. So, and I think has to do a lot with Ben. He's actually found a way to spread the ball, getting the ball to his playmakers and putting them in great situations as far as being able to, you know, catch the ball and continue to run. I think that definitely continues in this great matchup this week for sure. Put up them numbers.
Yeah, I think one thing that definitely benefits Ben is that defense is playing out of this world, off the charts. Like you said, going up against a rookie, they're definitely going to have really good field position. So Ben isn't going to have to do too much work like how he did against the Ravens. So I think he's definitely going to do his thing this week.
Yeah, definitely no work against that defense.
At all.
Not a hard time.
But I will say one defense that surprised me this year is the Dolphins. And they're going against the Arizona Cardinals. They got this running back, Chase Edmonds. What you like about him this week?
Delayed handoff and Chase Edmonds off to the races. And Edmonds into the end zone for an Arizona touchdown.
Yeah, listen, that's a nice matchup, especially with Drake out. And they're coming off the bye week. I think this is a great matchup for Chase. I think he would definitely take advantage of the increased touches that he's going to have. As we talked about with Drake being out, he's going to get the ball fed to him a lot more. Right. Him and Kyle Mara seems to actually have a nice connection. Even if it's a dump off or a screen or type situation, he's able to actually get some yards out of that. I think that definitely continues. Like you said, it's been down. This Dolphins defense has surprised a lot.
Yes.
I think it's just going to be too much, too many weapons, too much for them to actually handle this week. And I think Tua is going to kind of experience some of the rookie woes, which may actually put Arizona and specifically Chase Edmonds in an advantageous situation in the red zone where he could take advantage and get into the end zone.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I do think that Tua, he's going to have his little hiccups this game. He kind of probably is going to be on an all-time high after beating the Rams. But yeah, I think that he's just going to have his little struggles here and there. He's not going to be able to keep a drive going consistently. And due to that, I think on the other side, Kyler Murray, he's definitely going to benefit from that. And he's going to work with his running backs and wideouts all as one. So yeah, they're going to have some trouble this week. It's not going to be an easy win if they do win, but yeah, I think Chase is going to do well.
Yeah, I definitely like the matchup for him. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, let's give another quarterback that's going against a favorable matchup, I think, in the Jaguars. That's Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Titans.
Mr. Watson.
Second and goal from the Green Bay 3. Watson looking to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, David Johnson.
Yeah, he's coming off a bye week. He's actually able to keep all his weapons, as we talked about. Will Fuller did not get traded, so he still has him, still has Cook. I think, you know, even Fells is actually stepping up as far as a tight end option for him. So I think it's been, you know, a rough year for Watson, but this matchup is probably exactly what the doctor ordered. I think he would take advantage of it, this friendly Jag defense, and kind of bounce back, kind of get back to Watson that we've actually seen in the previous years, for sure.
Yeah, I think that they're going to benefit hugely from Uncle Rico not playing at all, and just having that bye week, that little bit of rest, that's going to give them that extra oomph that they're going to need to, you know, propel them through the second half of the season. I think Deshaun, he's going to do well, though. I think he's going to be able to pick them apart. They look very well, like I said, just before their bye week, and I think that's going to continue. Jacksonville hasn't put up too much of a fight. They're kind of like Minnesota of the AFC, and to be honest with you, I think that's something, like you said, with the doctor order, and Deshaun, he's looking forward to it. So, yeah, he's going to do his thing.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's a go! This is one of our favorite segments. If you can't tell the excitement, we are excited. We're going to do a little different variation this week, where we're going to have me and G. We can both get on the same page. It's going to be a go. This running back had a tough matchup going against the Ravens. Naeem Hines, who came off a nice game last week for the Colts.
He just balled.
Yes, he did, running back. He actually outplayed the starting running back, Jonathan Taylor, who started off the year really well. But, you know, as rookies can actually be kind of up and down. Naeem Hines, this is the question now. Is he a go for me? It's a no. He had a nice showing last week. I think the schedule... it was actually a great schedule that was actually for the scheme, as far as the play calling was actually something that he took advantage of last week. I don't think this is actually going to be the case this week against the Ravens, so it's a no for me.
Well, it was kind of hard for me to, you know, make a selection as far as a go or a no, but yeah, I'm leaning more towards the no, just because it's the Ravens, and I know that that defense is real. Phillip, he got into a much needed groove this week. He had a few ups and downs against the Titans defense, but yeah, he was able to propel the team and do his thing. Now against these Ravens, I don't think he's going to be able to be as consistent as he was against the Titans. Ravens, they're up front four, they're going to cause a lot of problems. You got those linebackers and also the corners and safeties that's going to do their thing. And I just don't see Naeem, unfortunately, or Phillip really getting off. If they do win, it'll probably be because of Phillip and his arm, but they haven't needed that at all this season, so they're going to probably lean more towards the D. It's a no for me with Naeem Hines or Phillip Rivers. you got Robbie Anderson with the Carolina Panthers going against those Chiefs. You think he's going to do his thing this week?
So, yeah, so this is kind of a couple of things that's going to contribute to this, I believe. But I do like what Robbie Anderson has been able to actually do this week, whether McCaffrey has been in the lineup, whether it's been Mike Davis, Teddy Bridgewater, him have to seem to have a very nice connection. And I think that definitely continues this week. The Chiefs is a great team overall. And the defense plays solid when they're in those situations, of course, when they're up and they're just able to pin and hit, you know, their ears back and kind of go after the quarterback. I think this game may stay a little bit more interesting, even if it doesn't, if they're playing behind. I like Anderson for that value as far as getting a lot of catches. So, yeah, for me, it's definitely a go. And I like him as a nice little flex play.
One thing that I always see when a team goes up against it, or I say that when a team always goes against the Chiefs is, can you outscore them? Because that's the way the Chiefs play. They mm-hmm. have a lot of weapons on offense. They're going to put up a lot of points. Can you keep up? A lot of teams don't have the personnel to keep up. But in saying that, I think Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are going to be able to go off this week. But still, they're not going to have enough. It's a go for me. I think Robbie's going to do his thing. He's going to put up a lot of points, but they're not going to win that game.
It's a go.
Let's switch over to the defensive side of things. You know, okay, let's talk about this safety that's actually been lights out. Buda Baker, safety for the Cardinals. Listen, before they went on a bye, he had a huge game against the Seahawks, which we know is an elite team in a division game. He has no problem coming down in the box and tackling. Or if he has to actually, you know, he had a nice little pick also. I love what he's doing as far as a safety play going against the Dolphins, especially Tua. I think this is going to give him a great opportunity to also have a nice showing. I think he gets after Tua. If Tua is allowed to throw the ball, and that's going to be a big key right there. I'm not sure how much they're going to allow him to kind of open up the playbook enough for him to actually throw the ball down the field. But if he is, he could get in some danger there messing around with Baker. He's an IDP MVP for me. It's a go.
See, to me, it's a go automatically for me. He defines IDP MVP with his consistency to hawk the ball, and he gets a lot of tackles. He's automatic plug-in every week. I mean, what are you doing? You don't even have to think twice about it. And I can guarantee you right now, he's licking his chops, and he can't wait to go against this rookie. This vet,
you better believe it.
He wants to teach this rook a few things. It's a go for me.
It's a go.
I don't like talking about this team too much. The Chicago Bears, you know, Robinson for the Bears, they're going against the Titans. What you like about it?
I think it's a go. I like what Allen Robinson has. You know, it hasn't been, I don't think, exactly what the Bears planned out as far as the actual equating to wins. But the connection with Allen Robinson and Foles has been actually an increase, or I think it's a lot better than it was with him and Trubisky. So I think that definitely continues this week against the Titans. We think about the Titans as an overall solid defense, but we know that they are vulnerable against the throwing or the passing attack for sure. I think Foles finds a ways to get him and, you know, get the ball to him. It's a go for me.
For me, it all comes down to Foles and how his head is into the game. He's been doing really well reading the defense on some drives, and Robinson he's been one of the main parts or reasons as to why they've been getting the ball moving in chunks. He has a lot of TD appeal, and I think that the connection with him and Foles is real. Stay tuned, because these two, I'm not going to say they're going to take off and, you know, they're going to unleash a fury of points, but I do think that they can be consistent enough to win you a game week in and week out. So it's a go for me.
It's a go.
All right, then we got this wide out, Devontae Parker. The Miami Dolphins going against those Arizona Cardinals. What you like about him?
I like Parker in general, right? And I like him a lot with Fitzmagic. But this is, as we talked about, this is kind of something that's going to be the Tua effect. It's a no for me just because it doesn't look like they have much confidence in the young quarterback. And that's understandable. Like, he only played one game, and I know that they're not going to actually give him everything to do from the beginning. And because of that, I think it's going to be more of a game scheme, or the game plan is going to be more to run the ball and short dump offs. With Gaskin being out, I do think he'll have some opportunities. I'm just concerned that it's not going to be too often, not enough opportunities. So for me, it's a no.
And I'm going to piggyback right off of what you said. With Gaskins being banged up, I honestly think that's going to open up the door for Preston and for Parker to actually do their thing. Tua, we haven't really seen his ability to stretch the field. You know, all game long. It's going to be tough for him against these Cardinals, you know, because they're going to definitely bring that rush. They know that he's a rook. They're not going to give him a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Better believe
it. They're not going to play with him at all. So he's going to have to think and think fast. And I think if he just gives him a few touches or a few tries out there, I think Parker and or Preston Williams can do their thing. But I'm going to lean more towards Parker. It's a go for me.
Le'Veon Bell, running back. Now we have to get this right. He's with the Chiefs. Yeah, he's actually, yeah, he's going against those Panthers. You know, as a week, and I was actually expecting last week to actually be more of a revenge game for him to get more opportunities. I think the game just got out of hand so fast that, you know, at that point, they were just like, you know, we don't even have a chance to give it to you to really run the ball pass. So I think this game, he could use the Bill, right? And I think this is a great opportunity for him to get some more touches, become more comfortable in that offense. For me, it's a go. I expect him to be like running back too. As we know, the rookie still has his part. Still going to be a huge role in the offense. But I think Bell is definitely going to get his money and get you those points in the red zone.
For me as well, it's a go. I think he's going to give you some pretty good numbers. He's not going to be above average, but it's going to be around average numbers. The Chiefs, they just like to spread the ball around a lot. They like to give everybody a lot of opportunities. But I do expect Le'Veon to get his. Like the Panthers, they haven't been that defense for, what, 2-3 years now? And honestly, Le'Veon, he didn't do bad against the Jets. I thought that he was going to do a whole lot better. But at the same time, like you said, the game got out of hand. And you know what I mean? It was what it was. So for me, against these Panthers, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to do fairly well. It's a go.
It's a go.
Marvin Jones Jr., the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, going against my Minnesota Vikings.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, sorry, G. So it's a go for me, right? And as we talked about, Kenny Galladay is going to miss and is going to be out this week, dealing with a hip injury. So I think he's actually going to be definitely in line for some more targets. As you even seen last game, once Galladay had exited the game, he got a lot more targets. I think that's going to be something that's going to continue. Matt Stafford is going to find ways to get the ball to a lot of different receivers, but I think definitely Jones Jr. takes advantage of it. It's a go for me.
All right, one thing about these division games that I know well is the players that tend to chew us out, and Marvin Jones Jr. is one that does it every time. He always gets around 2 touchdowns against us. I mean, he could be quiet all season long, but he shows up for us for some reason. So it's a go for it's a, you're laughing, it's not funny, it hurts because I know it's coming.
I get it,
but it's a go for me. And I think him and TJ, they actually gonna put up pretty decent numbers with Galladay being out, getting those extra targets. I think that it's gonna do well for him. It's a go.
It's a go.
Cam
killer.
Oh, Cam. Cam. No, wait, I'm singing because Cam, listen, we need better play. We were all rooting for you. Happy to see you kind of start off the season really well. The good news is you're actually going to visit the Jets. And that defense has, you know, as I talk about with the Cowboys, they have very little fight left, if any at all. For that reason and that reason alone, it's a go for me. Cam understands also that, you know, his leash is getting a little short, as I talked about. So, you know, I think he understands he has to play well. He has to protect the ball. And if he do those situations, do that on a continuous basis, a lot of times with the Patriots and the way they play, that's going to put you in a great position to actually win a lot of games. So I think he has to stop trying to do too much and just actually be smart with the ball. And I think he does this week. It's a go.
See, and, you know, we were getting along so well, and then you just
right. It was a nice little connection here.
So it was, but I gotta disagree with you. I think the Jets are gonna be a thorn in Cam's side, and they could possibly be the one part or piece that closes the door on this whole Cam saga. I think that they're gonna sit him down a little bit, and I think Bill after this week is probably going to wind up pulling a plug on this whole Cam thing.
Oh man,
he just doesn't seem like the same Cam. He's not making quite the same decisions like how he used to, making a lot of mistakes at the wrong time in the game. So yeah, I think the Jets are definitely gonna go and win this game. I know it's kind of shocking to hear because they've been so sorry all season, but I think this is gonna be that one week where they're like, you know what, we can do it, guys. So it's a go for me.
The cousin connection. See the cousin Cousin connection is now off the rails, so you blew it now. I can see it. Cam was tough to get on the same page. But then we got a running back, James Conner, for the Steelers. He's at those Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
For that reason, it's a go. We talked about a Pittsburgh offense that's actually, you know, it's definitely hitting its stride. Right, whether it's we talk about the wide receivers or we're talking about the tight end, even Ebron, and even the running backs. In this case, James Conner, it's definitely a go. Dallas has actually been decent against the run, but with no Andy Dalton, I think that's going to be a lot of times where the defense is going to be on the field too much. And then, you know, soon Conner's going to be able to, and Snow is actually going to be able to wear him down after a while, that defense down. And I think they get in, he definitely gets into the end zone. So for me, this matchup is a go, James Conner.
All right, you're getting it together now. I like the way you sound, Andrea. We starting to get it back a little bit. The Cowboys, because I agree with you on this one. The Cowboys, they haven't shut anyone down all season long, and that trend will 100% continue this week. Everyone will eat in this game, and if you can sprinkle in a few passes for Conner, he definitely going to put up a lot more points than advertised. He's going to be excellent this game. It's a go for me.
It's a go.
James Robinson. Now, this guy's been surprising all season long. A running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're going to up against those Houston Texans. What you think he going to do?
You know, as it go for me, this kid has been something special. For those who were lucky enough to pick him up on the waiver wire early in the season, he's been nothing but short of amazing. I'm sure if, you know, to those owners, definitely, I think that definitely continues. We're talking about a Texan defense who hasn't been able to stop much of anyone this year. I don't think that changes this week. Now I am concerned a little bit with Uncle Rico not being under center, and we're going to be starting a rookie. And that effect of having a rookie who hasn't played a game yet, if he turns the ball over, he has a slow start, then that may kind of phase out the run game. But James Conner has found ways, even within blowouts, to still be a big force in the game. So if the rookie is smart, get the ball to James, and it's a go for me.
All right. Usually when a quarterback change happens, the playbook usually changes and puts a few extra touches, especially if the running back is a well-versed running back in the playbook. It puts the ball in the running back's hands just a little bit more, maybe 2, 3, 4 extra touches, because, you know, they just got to level out the playing field a little bit, you know, get that quarterback a little bit more time to get more comfortable. He was amazing all season long with his normal touches, and I think he will get those extra 3 to 5 touches against a generous defense like the Houston Texans. This dude going to chew him up. I'm going to be honest with you. If anybody is going to have a great game, it'll probably be James Robinson. It's a go for me.
It's a go.
Darren Waller, tight end for those Las Vegas Raiders.
Against
the Los Angeles Chargers. What you like about it?
West Coast Showdown. This tight end has been special. Pretty consistent all year. For me, it's a go. I think the secondary is a great matchup for Waller. I think he takes advantage of a friendly secondary. And I think Carr will continue to feed him. If he's smart, continue to feed him. And I think that definitely, for me, it's a recipe. It's a go for me.
It's a go for me as well. Waller is by far Carr's favorite target, and I think they're going to do damage against the Chargers. Everybody else has. Why not let the Raiders do it? It's a go for me as well.
It's a go.
This guy, AB is finally back in the building.
Yep.
Didn't think
activated.
I was saying it at all. He is activated, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks, going against those New Orleans Saints. What you think? What you doing?
So to your point, I'm really surprised to actually see to rescind his name. He's back in the league, right? I was definitely thinking that after his last show out, it might have been the end for him. But we've never questioned his talent. We never questioned even his ability to be in shape, right? He's always... he's ready to go, but we do question sometimes what's between the two ears and what his, where is his mindset at? Is he motivated? I think the situation that he's actually in now with the Bucks, I think number one, he realizes he doesn't have many chances left. I think this is a great opportunity for him to actually win a chip, and I think that's motivating in itself. And then he gets to play with a GOAT. So I wanted to take some time, because we haven't talked about AB much in depth as far as him actually being activated. So I want to kind of peel that back and talk about all those things. But now, with all that being said, I think long term, AB is going to be a great addition to this offense. And like I said, with Godwin and those injuries, he's going to be a great fill-in and probably a comfortable target for Brady, who built a little bit of connection with him in the Patriots days. For me, in this matchup, though, against the Saints, it's a no. Not yet. I think he's going to have, like I said, his impact, but not out the gate. I think it's going to take a couple of weeks for him to kind of get his feet wet. Let's keep in mind, he was out of football for quite some time, right? Right. Even him being in the greatest shape that he's always in, he's not necessarily in football shape. So I think we do have to give him a couple of weeks to kind of get going. So right now, for this game, week 9, it's a no.
Oh, man. See, listen, Godwin hurt. I mean, he might not play. AB definitely could just plugged in right there to spot.
Uh-huh.
It's looking so good for him, but I'm
enticing. Honestly,
yeah, it's so enticing, but it's a no for me. Fantasy football 101. Whenever you get somebody who's been off for an entire season, don't trust that very first game they come back, they're going to ball out of control. It takes a while to get back in the football shape. You got to respect that they put the grind in. You know what I mean? They put the work in week out, every game they play. And AB hasn't given us any tape at all this season. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be out there, but at the same time, it took Gronk a while to get it going with Tom
Great
Brady.
Point.
And that's his A1, you know what I mean? Like, they've been together for a very long time. So it's just going to take him a little while to get it going. I think later on in the season, especially if anybody gets injured, they're going to look back at that moment and say that was a beautiful pickup. But
absolutely,
all in all, this week, no. It's a no for me.
Blake Martinez. Linebacker for those. I was almost saying his old team for the Packers, but he's actually with the Giants. Going against, so crazy to say, the football team. Yeah, the Washington football team. Listen, Blake Martinez, he played well Monday Night Football going against Tampa Bay. And that GOAT we talked about in Tom Brady, he was a tackling machine. And I think that definitely continues this week. We're talking about a team that's definitely going to be running the ball. I think that, and that's when he seems to get the most tackles. Of course, if you're running it up the gut or up the A-gap, he's going to be right there waiting for him. And so if he doesn't get the full tackle, he's going to get an assist. And for that reason, I definitely have him as a go for me, IDP MVP.
He definitely is an IDP MVP, 100%. He's been phenomenal all season. He was great last year. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. He's like a magnet. He appears in front of the ball almost every time. It's amazing. Like, I've watched him play when he played the Eagles. I've watched him. Like, I just can't believe it. Like, how many tackles, how he seems hungry every single play. Like, he gets angrier and angrier like a football Hulk. So, it's a go for me. Like, you're a fool if you don't play him. It's a go.
It's a go.
Makes you kind of wonder, like, why did the Packers get rid of him? Probably would be a nice piece they can have right now as far as a linebacker. But on to other news. We got another safety, IDP MVP, Jordan Poyer of the Bills. He's actually going to be going against at the Seahawks. It's a go for me. This is another state there, as we talk about this, likes to come down in the box. He's going to support the run. We know that the Seahawks definitely like to run the ball. Now, we do know Russ has opened up air it out a lot more. But I think they're definitely going to still try to solidify the run. And I think in those cases, Poirier is definitely going to get some tackles there. For me, the game script is going to be give him a lot of opportunities. It's a go for me.
For me as well, it's going to be a go. He's definitely going to have a lot of opportunities. Russell Wilson and them, they draw up a whole lot of plays. They run a lot of plays every game. He's going to get a lot of opportunities to get a lot of tackles. He's been a key component on his defense all season long and a prime reason for their success. I mean, it's a tough matchup because Russell on the offensive side, he's lights out and it's hard to stop them from scoring. But I think he can actually be effective against this team. It's a go for me.
It's a go.